Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
I'm glad to see all of you here. It's a very important topic. You know, building the tool is one aspect, and all the effort that goes in there and the energy that goes in there. I'm so proud of the work that task force has done. Using the tool is another component, and whose hand the tool is in is very, very important. And so once you start this process and start looking at it, and saying what is the best way to use a tool. And this is what we are trying to do before I get to the immunization, is that we are doing the assessment of all the programs that we provide. We spend $279 million a year, taxpayer money, providing all these preventive services to the people. But the people's health status has not changed in the past 5 years. We've just looked at that, it just remained the same. I think many of you will see the similar kind of pictures. So when I came on board, working with the mayor, we decided to change that and said, let's do program effectiveness. If I want to do the program effectiveness, it would take me many years and millions of dollars worth of studies. So I took the simple method. I appointed Dr. Richard Levinson, professor of health services management at Howard University, to come and look at these preventive services guidelines and applies systematically across all the programs and services in the DC Health Department, each and every one of them, and to see where we're spending our money, are they evidence-based or not. And next year, by the APHA, we're going to have the data for you to show you which one of them are evidence-based, where these things actually work, at least for the urban setting, and hopefully some of you will look at it a similar way in the big large state that is rural and urban population.
So consider an early invitation for next year.
Thank you. I want to talk about something that's very near and dear to every public health professional. The very basic public health is immunization. And once you start to look at the immunization, the community guide, I want to take you the recommendations that the guide has and the thing that we have implemented. And then I'm going to have a little bit of discussion with you where we succeeded and where we didn't. And then we're going to have a couple of recommendations for the tool producers to see if they can make the tool a little bit better for the next go-around. Here are the recommendations to enhance access to vaccine services, that we make home visits to increase vaccination, reduce the client out-of-pocket expenses for vaccination. We have done and implemented some of these programs, but not the out-of-pocket cost. We have not really paid anybody any money to provide incentive to the people. But we're providing free vaccines to the providers throughout the city. Increasing the community demand for the vaccine, again, they said that incentive, providing incentive to the community would be a very big thing, especially to the family if you can do that, but we have really not really gone down that road. It's very hard to ask the legislators for the money to be given to the people. You can spend a lot of money on all kind of wasteful programs, but if you say it's going to be given to hand it over to somebody, they ain't going to vote for that one. And of course, we have looked at how to change the system, how to make the system better to facilitate the immunization rate. And of course, it's much easier for us, being an urban environment, that we are able to do that, 69 square miles, so we are able to work our process through. But we have also added a few things that we were doing before and continue to do them right now. For example, because we are an international city, we sort of translated into many, many languages the immunization material that we give to the parents. When a child is born, the parent gets a card from us through Hallmark, you know, saying, welcome, you know, you got your baby, congratulations, that this is what we're going to do, but in different languages. So we make sure that it is relevant to the individual. We don't know how effective it is, but we continue to do that. We think it has its benefit because people like it, and the hospital like it, who have the information. Similarly, we passed a law last year, got implemented the first time, and we're going to talk a lot more about it, which requires that every child that comes to school have a health certificate, which means they have the physical examination done this year. So in addition to their physical examination, their vision, hearing tested, and also the immunization complete. And this is a big success story that I will be talking in a minute. And then the last piece, of course, is that we have regular community input. We ask the community, what else can we do to really make this thing better? So here is something that really tells you something very different than all of us have believed all our lives. Look at this immunization rate for the public schools. It's 92% on public schools, Head Start program, licensed daycare center. Why is that high? Because these are the people who are poor folks. Okay? They trust the nurse, they trust the doctor, they trust their community clinic. They go, they get things done. Look at these red numbers. These are for last year's, for the private school, for the charter school, and the parochial school. These are the people at the higher socioeconomic status. These are the educated elite, different population. These are the people who have read in the papers that the immunization will cause you autism. Okay, this is one time in life where the people who have less knowledge are more helpful to the children than people who have a lot of knowledge. And so they decided they ain't going to get the immunization. And they sort of opt out. So last year was our worst year in terms of opting out. You can see in the parochial school, 50% of the children got the immunization last year. That's when the council moved, looked at these recommendations, and they decided to implement the law. By law, it will be required that every child has a physical exam done. Part of the physical exam is also the immunization, hearing, and vision testing. And once that law went into effect last year, you can see that this year's number start to get better, you know, start to improve. So one of the recommendations I have for the task force in this, looking at this information only, and by the end of the year we will have a lot more information and better information, is that you prioritize these recommendations. If I had to do only one, which one will get the best buck for my money? If I were to tell you today from this experience, I would say pass the law. If you have a law in place, people educated or less educated or more educated, all will respect that. And then you enforce it, you implement it, the things will work. And this is the lesson from Washington, D.C. Because it always goes against the trend. Normal trend is that the poor folks don't get their children vaccinated, they don't pay attention to all of this. But in this case, it's the other way around. It is the educated and better prepared people. Here is another issue. When it comes to the immunization for HPV, although it's required by the same law, it said that you will have your children immunized, but because of the politics of this whole thing, we are unable to get the parent's consent. When we send the consent form, the parent don't say yes or no. They simply tear that page away and throw it away. Child brings back with less consent. I have no guideline, there's no way of figuring out how do I deal when there's a political circumstance, or when there's a politically sensitive issue, or when there's a culturally sensitive issue. It's a very difficult proposition. I'm sure other states are feeling the same kind of things, and those of you who heard Michelle Bachmann say about HPV vaccine, we have a different view. So there's that arena in which we play. And finally, last thing from an immunization standpoint is the immunization for the elderly. I mean, we've been playing game with this influenza vaccine and pneumococcal thing. We've gone back and forth, and there are no guidelines. How do I get the adults into the immunization? If the immunization is the most cost-effective program that we have in public health toolbox, this will be one very important thing for us to consider, that we have some sort of a same kind of community guide that lists what we can do for the adults. So in summary, I want to say three things. First, we can use these guidelines across all programs to assess the effectiveness of our programs, rather than conducting the long-term studies about the outcome and which program is better than the others, way more expensive than to have a professor and some of his students come in and systematically start to look at it, and in 3 months, by the end of this year, they would have gone through the entire program areas and to see which one are following the evidence-based guideline, which ones are not. And as long as the task force has done such a wonderful work, I mean, why not just use their yardstick to measure our program at the local level and just go forward with it? The second is that even for the very basic public health interventions, such as immunization, that we've been doing for 50 plus years, it is still an issue for us that's keep evolving. So the guidelines cannot be stable all the time. They require periodic review, updating, and back, you know, having the loop back from the users and saying, you know, what can we do next? Because as the population changes, you know, things need to change. And finally, let's see if we can conclude with these difficult areas to reach. If I go out there today and stand in the middle of the street and say, we need to have this immunization to keep you healthy, no matter what it is, there are some people who automatically come and say, I want to get that. Okay? Then there are others, if I make a little bit more effort, they will come. But as higher the number goes, the next 10% become harder and harder to get. So at the end, you are between 10 and 20% of the population, no matter what program you're talking about. It is very hard to get hard-to-reach population. And they are the ones who then continue to spread the disease or become the source of the outbreak. And so if we could just sort of look at this guideline for the future and say, this recommendation is for hard-to-get population. It may be expensive, just like the antibiotics. You give at the lower level some antibiotic, the first set of drugs, then the second, and then they're finally very expensive. But this is very expensive, but it's very cost-effective. Because if you did that, that would be a great success. So from a working person, on the ground, these are my three suggestions to them. But the work that the task force has done and the guide that they have prepared is just enormous. Let's give them a big round of applause for their work.
And let's put it in one more time for Dr. Oxer. Introducing Dr. Fielding by saying you could say 100 things about him. Well, this is the 101st thing. He implements what he also develops, and so we're going to hear how the guide works in Los Angeles.